Hello there. We're Vince and Elliot McNally.
Yes, the great-great-grandsons of map-making mogul Rand McNally.
And we'll be your hosts and tour guides on a trip across America, one small town at a time.
In the spirit of our great-great-grandfather, we're traveling the country writing the family's first almanac in over 50 years. Towns and Country, the McNally Brothers' comprehensive guide to small-town America.
Each week we'll be in a new town, and after getting to know the place and the people, we'll tell you, the listener, all there is to know.
In a show we call These Parts, a podcast putting towns on the map.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to another episode of These Parts. I'm Vince McNally, one of your hosts, my brother, friend, companion. He's with me this week as he is every week, and I'm lucky to say that, Elliot McNally. Thanks for joining me, Elliot. We experienced something interesting today on our way to town. We had traffic.
I think this is the first time we've ever had traffic on our journey across America.
Yeah, there was a lot of honking. A lot of, people who are impatient.
And it's weird, too, because you wouldn't expect that from basically the quintessential town of, like, when you think of small town America, you think of this town.
Apple pie.
Exactly.
Apple ice pie, cream.
Ice cream, baseball.
Baseball games. Yes, yes. Baseball games, Elliot.
And maybe there was a baseball game. Maybe that's why there's so much traffic. But I just, the times that I've been here, I don't remember it being this populous. Maybe there's something in town that's going on. I don't know.
Some kind of event. Anyway, we digress. We're in a lovely, quaint, and must be said, tiny little American town in coastal New York.
And it's a town, Vince, I think we should put on the map.
Great idea, Elliot.
So listeners at home, take out your comprehensive Rand McNally U.S. wall maps and your commemorative push pins. This town is going to be a little hard to locate. As we said, it's pretty quaint. It's also an island, just to give you a perspective of how isolated this little suburban town is that we're in. It's up in New York, as Vince said. It's called Manhattan.
And if you're feeling a little embarrassed at home, a little sort of maybe, you know, ashamed, chagrined, don't. It's not your fault that you don't know where or what Manhattan is. Most people in the United States haven't been here or heard of it.
Exactly. But that's why Vince and I wanted to come here. The point of these parts is to make the unknown known, the small town American towns that we love more available and accessible to you. And with us today here to do that is a couple who's lived in Manhattan since, I don't know, how long you guys have lived here?
God, I can't even remember.
I think it was, let's see.
What's, before the second one?
When was Garfield president?
Oh yeah, when was Garfield president?
James Garfield.
You remember him? I liked him so much.
Oh, I know.
You guys were friends with James Garfield.
Yeah, we were friends with him. Oh, wow. We're the ones who helped him really get that presidency, really cinch the deal.
Because we voted.
Interesting.
Yeah. Did we answer your question?
Yeah.
You did. With flying colors. And I got to say, we're huge Garfield fans here on these parts. So, you know, that is a little extra bit of historical goodness. Well, before you introduce yourselves, could you do us the great honor of sticking a pin in Manhattan, New York?
Do you want us to physically stick the pin or?
Or is this a metaphoric pin?
I guess it's been stuck.
It's a physical pin. Here it is.
Hand it to me. Oh, I see.
Here. Actually, you know, I'm going to give you your glasses to you so you can see the map.
Thank God. Yeah, sometimes in the house I forget that
you
I need
put,
to see.
You put it in.
You
I'll
put
prick
it in.
My finger.
All right.
I got a bad finger.
It's why is it so high up on the wall? How am I supposed to reach that?
I'll get you a stool.
It's, hold on. I don't mean to contradict you. It is laying on a table in front of you.
Oh, wow.
Right there.
I was looking at that painting. You know, I had a painting commissioned for me once, and it's hanging on the wall, and it looks a lot like the world, even though it's actually two nubile females.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
They're embracing
each other.
Each other. Yeah. So, okay, here we go. Okay. Pin in.
Nicely done.
And can you guys introduce yourselves to our listeners?
Harold.
And Sylvia.
Harold and Sylvia.
Yes.
Do you have a last name?
Oh, yes, of course. It's Long.
Harold and Sylvia Long. Thank you so much.
No, the name is Long. Yeah. Give us a second. We have to fill it in.
Your name is really long.
Yes. It starts with Levy, and then it's hyphen.
Ben Abrahamson.
And then, at the end of it, is Silverstein.
So let me get this straight. It's Levy Abrahamson Silverstein?
Yes.
Yes, Ben Abrahamson.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Ben Abrahamson.
Ben Abrahamson again.
Ben hyphen Abraham's son.
Yeah. The son of Abraham.
There's three hyphens, Elliot. It's Levi hyphen. And please correct me if I'm wrong.
I will. I will.
It's Levi hyphen, Ben hyphen again, Abraham's son hyphen, yes. Silverstein.
Yes. Stein, Silverstein. We always getting confused with that other Silverstein fellow.
Yeah.
Yes, Levi Ben Abrahamson Silverstein gets mixed up for you all the time, I imagine.
All the time.
All the time.
Do you guys get each other's mail?
Oh, yes, yes.
Glasses, prescriptions.
Oh, regular prescriptions.
Oh, wow, that could cause a problem.
Yeah, well, we're neighbors.
Oh, wow, what are the odds of that?
We've lived next door to each other since Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh, God, do you remember him?
Yeah.
God, I loved him.
His mustache. Took me years to grow a mustache like that.
Still doesn't have one.
Well, guys, may I be the first to ask, what's it like living in such a small town, a quaint little community such as Manhattan?
We don't do a lot of things outside of our square block.
Yeah, but it's okay because on our square block is everyone we know.
Yeah, so, you know, the benefits of living in a small town are that you don't have to have any secrets, because if you did, everybody would know them anyway. You need a drink?
No.
Oh.
Just
do you,
clearing my throat.
I forgot to ask, do either of you need a drink of water?
Oh,
or sherry?
I'm fine.
Would you like
I'm
some
right.
sherry
Thank you,
in the middle of the day? We could be wild.
Oh, God. let's pass.
Okay.
Well, it's fine. You guys are retired. You can drink in the middle of the day if you want.
Oh, yeah. We've been retired.
But it flares up my angina.
I see there's sort of a carafe of this pinkish liquid that has a thin, and by thin I mean thick, layer of dust on it.
Pepto.
Yeah, that's Pepto.
That's Pepto.
That's Pepto-Bismol.
Oh, I thought it was Manischewitz.
Oh, no. The Manischewitz is in the refrigerator.
We don't like Manischewitz that much either. We like Mogan David.
Yeah, we're Mogan David family.
Mogan David people.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There is a lot of carafes that are all similar looking. They all have slightly different shades of pinkish liquid.
Oh, they're all tonics.
Yeah.
They're all tonics.
Oh,
if you want a tonic, we've got hundreds.
She likes tinctures and whatever. She goes to her astrologer three times a week.
Oh, now only twice.
What have you learned from your astrologer thing this week that is the kind of the main cliff notes?
This week? Oh, God.
She's a Libra. That's all I know.
Yeah, I'm
That's
a Libra.
All I know.
Yeah, which
too.
I was surprised.
This will be
oh,
really
are you? Oh, I could see it in your eyes. You're a Libra. God, you've got them sparkle eyes of a Libra.
Oh, thank you. So do you.
Sylvia, what do my eyes look like?
Oh, let me see. Like a coin that's been relieved from a fountain.
So cancer?
You have cancer eyes, I guess, yeah. You probably have cancer, but it's fine because we all have a little bit of cancer in us.
I probably have it.
Yeah. So I went to my astrologer just yesterday. Her name is Cheryl, and she is just beautiful. And
big hair,
big lots of hair, very hair. Beautiful curly hair. And she was telling me I was going to have an off week, so that I should be very careful where I was stepping because I might trip on my own misfortune.
So that's why I've got all the pool noodles everywhere.
Yeah, because I don't want to fall. Because if I do, it could be the end of me. At
Slice
this point.
Up a pool noodle, stick it on a corner. You got a safe house for fallen.
That's why when I went to this pool noodle emporium, they were all sold out. They had boards on the windows. They said someone had bought them out.
Oh, that's a very clever joke.
It was probably me, though.
Yeah, but they would never sell out.
No, they wouldn't.
That's funny.
No.
No, they would never.
Now, Rudy keeps it pretty well stocked.
Oh, yeah. Rudy all never runs out of anything. And that's why we like him. You know what I mean? He predicts your needs.
Pastel. Lots of teal. Pink. Pastels.
So easy to see and very soft if you fall on them. That's good.
Yes. What was the original question?
I don't even know anymore.
You've answered it with flying colors, actually.
Oh, okay,
I'm just
okay.
So I feel very blessed and honored to have two staples of this small, tight-knit community joining us today. Elliot, I think we should just jump right on into our first segment.
I agree, Vince. That's called Hall Monikers.
Hall monitors.
Don't interrupt.
Yeah, it's a little play on that, actually. Hall
I'm
monitors,
sorry.
Hall
he's
monikers.
Such an interrupter. When he hears things he likes, he's got to speak.
Well, I think you're going to like this segment. And, you know, there is a small faction Vince, I would say maybe even a cabal of people who want hall monikers to be more prevalently featured in the show, because we don't break it out all that often.
Yeah, they call themselves Moniacs, and they are ever present on the forums. They post the same rant 3-4 times a day. Mm-hmm. We need more hall monikers. It should be an every week segment. Like, wouldn't you like to know? Mm-hmm. By the way, wouldn't you like to know is shit? By the way, what's with all these deliverance questions? On and on. I mean, it's hard to turn down such passionate fans, but some people get something in their heads.
And the fact of the matter is, it wouldn't be as special of a segment if we did it all the time. We saved this segment for towns that have a really interesting origin to their name. So Harold and Sylvia, where did Manhattan come to be? Where did this name come from?
Harold, wake up.
What? I wasn't even asleep.
You were taking a nap in front of me.
I was resting my eyes.
Oh, God. This is what's happening.
Resting my worried eyes from looking at so much all day.
Oh, God. He's doing our taxes this year. And I did them every year. And now he can't stay awake because he said it's too many numbers to look at.
I'm sick of the griping about
God.
Is that why you have that little green visor on and those things on your sleeves?
Yeah. Yes. He feels like... if he looks the part of an accountant, yep, he'll be an accountant.
I bought that lamp. That lamp. Just
is that
this.
Why you're tangled in what looks to be 8 or 9 feet of ticker tape?
Oh, yes. God, yes. the amount of ticker tape he's used this time, I can't even tell you.
I'll tell you, there isn't even anything on it. I just like to have it. It makes me feel professional.
I'm just shaking my head right now. I can't even believe you.
Don't tell her that. Oops.
Well, what was even the question you just asked? I woke you up for a reason, Harold.
Yeah.
They were wondering.
Manhattan.
Oh, how does
the name? The name of Manhattan.
God,
where did it come from?
It's such a funny story. Actually, when we moved here, it was called Burgersville.
Oh, is that
German
so?
Burgers? Really?
Yeah, for the German Burgerville. Burgerville.
All the people who were burgers in Germany came here and had a town of burgers.
And then we moved here, and we're not even from Germany at all.
No.
And so anyway, long story short.
There was a man.
Well, he wasn't just any old man. He was Harold's father.
And he had a hat.
And he had a big, tall hat. And everyone in town was always like, who is that man with the hat?
Yeah. And he was a big man. And the hat was big, and he probably weighed a ton.
Oh, God, Harold. I've forgotten halfway through the story where we were even going with this.
We were talking about my...
Oh.
The origin of the name.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So Harold's father, his name was Blang. He was a different kind of guy. He was taller. He had a big hat on. Everybody noticed him. He stuck out. And so they said, we should name the town after him. But they tried it. Blangston.
Yeah.
It didn't really work. It wasn't fitting.
It doesn't have the same ring to it.
So they were like, what do we name a town about a man with a big hat on?
Yeah. So we called it Man Hat On.
That's it.
That's all there is to it. It's not even really significant. It's just sort of everyone sort of banded together and said, well, we need to solve a problem and let's do it as a team.
Yeah.
Did they make your father Blang the mayor of the town? Was he any significance, or was he just... The muse.
No, he was a terrible drunk. He would have been a very bad politician. He was just charismatic. People liked him.
And they thought, you know, we're on this island. We had this man with a hat on. Why not name it after him?
Yeah, of course. Like any other town.
That is exactly how it happened. And if somebody tells you otherwise, you bring him over.
Yeah, we'll give him a whole dinner and everything.
You bring him here. She makes a wonderful brisket and chopped liver.
Oh, I do.
In fact, it should be noted, I've been meaning to compliment you guys on this. This oil painting on the wall behind you, it's a rotund man. He's holding a brisket in his hand, very much like the painting of King Louis with the turkey leg.
Oh, that's Blang.
He's got a hat that goes way out of frame, and he's chowing on the brisket most sumptuously.
Yes, that's Blang. That's him. That's a painting of him. It's actually a self-portrait. He made that painting.
With his free hand, his non-brisket hand.
That's right. He stood there and he looked right at himself. He didn't even imagine it. He just did it.
Yep. He is lustily gazing at the viewer. I assume he used a mirror for such an endeavor.
You know what I notice about you? You've got a great vocabulary. I bet your parents are proud of you. Very proud of you.
Yeah.
Oh, that is really sweet of you to say, Sylvia. So often my guests are... how to say acrimonious towards me.
Wow,
so
acrimonious! You just pulled that right out.
Oh, that was a $10 million word right there.
He's got a word a day calendar, guys.
Oh, that helps.
It helps. Hey, any way you have to.
Yeah, I've got a quote a day calendar myself. Today's quote was, "If you can't see it, it isn't real."
Maya Angelou.
Maya Angelou said that?
Oh, as insightful as always, Miss Angelou.
Yes.
Speaking of sights, you know, how has the scenery in Manhattan changed since you guys moved to town?
Well, like we said, you know, we stayed to our neighborhood just a little bit. We live in Gramercy Park, and, you know, it's a small kind of area of the town. It's kind of where the older folks live. But every once in a while, I'll see kind of a Ruffigan coming around. I noticed more Ruffigans lately than ever before.
Mm-hmm. A guy came by the other day, a teenager with a hat. He had a hat backwards.
It wasn't even the tall hat or anything.
No. And it was backwards.
It was a different man with a different hat.
Yeah, but he was wearing it in an inappropriate way. Why? What's the point of wearing a hat if it's not blocking the sun from your face?
Keep the sun from shining on the back of your neck?
Well, that's actually a great idea.
Well, then wear two hats.
Oh, yeah. Well,
like a Sherlock Holmes style hat, maybe.
Yeah, a hunting cap.
Oh, I like him.
Or one of those Lawrence of Arabia hats with the sort of, it sort of flows down around you.
Oh, Lawrence of Arabia. Oh,
like a beekeeper hat.
sort of similar to a beekeeper hat, yes.
Yeah, so I guess the biggest thing is that there's a lot more Ruffigans coming around, and also everyone seems to own a dog.
Are you guys not dog people?
Oh, no, we're not dog. We're not animal people at all. Why would you live with an animal? Yeah. I already live with my husband.
She thinks she's so funny.
Harold, wake up. Harold.
I'm up.
I'm sorry. He just fell asleep. It's something that happens to him sometimes.
His eyes are still open, though.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
I'm up.
Harold.
I'm up.
You know, I think maybe you can put your eyes to some use in our next segment.
Oh, what a great transition.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We call it Wouldn't You Like to Know.
Wouldn't You Like to Know.
So listeners, Wouldn't You Like to Know is your weekly opportunity to write into Vince and I and our guests asking questions about whatever town we're in. Guys, I've got the first one right here.
Let's have it.
Are you guys not saying anything just because of the suspense?
Oh, we weren't sure if you would. Yeah, we like the suspense. We were like, were you going or are we going?
I like the way you talk. It's very soothing.
Yeah, Harold, stay
awake. Thank you.
Stay awake.
I bet both of your parents are so proud of you. Are you related, the two of you? Are you brothers?
We are. We are brothers, yep.
Oh, you look like brothers.
Sound like my doctor.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. What did you say your last name was?
McNally.
I know your father. Yeah, Rand. Remember him?
Rand.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that was actually our great-great-grandfather. He was alive about 200 years ago, but you knew him.
Oh, we knew him. God, yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's interesting.
Wow. Time flies.
Time does fly. You know, we knew him when he was a young man, actually.
Yes. Yeah.
We used to play squash together.
That was a great game.
Oh. Yeah, that was a great game. It's a very New York game. Yeah,
you took a ripe squash.
He actually lived in this neighborhood a little bit.
Yeah. So he came and visited us several times. I'm sorry he passed.
Oh, that's okay. It was a very, very long time ago.
Okay.
How was the funeral? Did a lot of people come?
Did everybody come?
I think it was about 50 years before Vince and I were born.
Oh, we should have sent something. I'm embarrassed.
We're told it was well attended both by his friends and his rivals, though.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, good.
It's good to be loved by your enemies.
Mm-hmm.
That was yesterday's quote, actually.
Mm-hmm. Actually, instead of like a somber funeral, they had a squash game at the graveyard.
Oh, my God. What fun.
Yep. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Famously, John Mercator tried to burn down his coffin. It got a lot of laughs.
Oh, I bet.
Sounds like it.
Elliot, I love how we just have such a conversational flow today. It's like we'll wander down one avenue of speech and then we'll sort of stumble into another courtyard of conversation. It's quite pleasant.
It's great. And I'm sure that this letter will only add and bolster that. This one comes from Marcy in Burlington, Vermont. She says, guys, I'm a huge movie fan. And as I'm sure you know, Manhattan is the inspiration and setting of numerous movies throughout cinematic history. I'm not really sure what she's talking about, guys.
Probably Made in Manhattan.
Oh,
maybe.
Actually, the movie Deliverance was set here.
Mm-hmm.
Really? That's actually her next sentence. She is asking about the 1970s thriller Deliverance.
Oh yeah, that was set right here on the on the Hudson River.
Across the if you look out the window, you can see it.
Right from our house.
Yeah.
Right from our little apartment. See, go look.
Oh yeah, you're right. The Hudson River is right there. I had no idea that Deliverance took place right in the middle of New York.
Yep, absolutely. Manhattan. Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of movies take place here.
See, I was under the impression it was in Georgia.
Oh, well, that's an incorrect impression, but sometimes even a perfect gentleman needs to be wrong.
Maybe the book?
Yes, you're almost certainly right. It was probably the book Deliverance that I was thinking of.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, they may have changed it, you know, to make it a little more appealing for more cinematic audiences.
Actually, the reason that so many movies get filmed here is because we have a very distinct conceal and carry law. You have to, if you're going to have a camera and you'd like to carry it, you must conceal it. But also, if you're walking around the neighborhood, you must have a concealed and carried camera.
Yeah. Drape a cloth over it.
You know, that strikes me as actually a hindrance to filmmaking, but who am I to say?
Well, but everyone's always carrying a camera and you just start catching things and the next thing you know, you've got ideas for a movie and then the next thing you know, you've got three or four friends involved and then the next thing you know, you've called a production company and then from there...
You know, actually, Sylvia, now that you mention it, I think I remember a Maya Angelou interview where she says most movies happen on accident.
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. God, she's got so many quotable quotes. You know what I'm saying?
Actually, yesterday's was Maya Angelou too. Actually, I think this is a Maya Angelou.
What does it take on?
Yeah. Oh,
that would explain it.
You know, I was in a movie once myself.
Oh God, she loves to tell this story.
Okay, well,
we're all ears, Sylvia.
What movie was it?
It was called The Last Time I Looked at You.
It was silent.
Yes, mm-hmm. It was silent. You want to hear about it?
That sounds lovely.
Yes, I
always want people to ask because I don't want to just talk about myself.
It made the news because she showed half an ankle.
Yes, I did. I was the most risque silent film star that ever was.
They were burning reels of that film, burning them in the streets.
Yes, they were. And they were outside of our apartment chanting. No more ankle. No more ankle.
You're so lewd.
Well, so what did you do about it? How did you combat that?
Well, I'm the kind of person who says lean in. That's what Maya Angelou has taught me. And so I leaned right into it. And I said, you want to see my other ankle?
And did she?
I stuck my leg right out the gosh darn window and I reeled it up to my knee. Can you believe it?
She got arrested.
As I love to do, I was paging through the microfiche at the local library, and I read that the exposure of your calf actually gave six people that were protesting a heart attack and cost most of them their lives.
Yes, but I will say I think that most people were already on the edge of a heart attack at that point.
Yeah.
It was an unhealthy time in our country's history.
Yes,
the newspaper headline said, "Nude woman streaks."
Yes.
Is that the poster of the film right behind you?
Oh, yes. That is it. That's me right there.
That's the one. It's interesting because your name takes up more than three quarters of the poster.
Oh, yes.
That was the rule of the day.
That was the rule of the day. Is if you're going to show any body part, the rest of it has to be mostly words.
So it's your extremely long hyphenated name and then just a little sliver of ankle at the bottom.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm looking at a Robert Mapplethorpe painting or something.
Nobody even cared about the plot. I thought that was the best part of the movie.
The plot was wonderful. It was about a woman who was coming of age in a time where nobody else was aging.
Yeah, she was trying to be a star.
Yeah, she was trying to be a Broadway star.
But everyone else was trapped in like a child's age.
Yes, and so nobody appreciated theater. That was the grand irony of her life.
They couldn't sit through an entire show or performance.
Oh, they were so hyper uncandy.
It was the 20s, you know, youth.
Youth.
Yeah, 1920s candy was notoriously sugary and made kids very hyper.
That's why everyone was always having heart attacks.
Uh-huh.
Too much candy.
It all starts to make sense now. I love the tapestry you're weaving for us of American history. Maybe you could take it a step further and actually read a letter yourself, Sylvia, from one of our patrons, our writers.
Did you say you had my glasses?
Oh, yeah, they're right here. Okay. And actually, these look like a pair of glasses here, and then there's another pair of glasses that goes on top.
Oh, they have to go one on top of the other. That's the thing when you get old.
And this final pair here, it seems to be sort of further, it goes further out, it's deeper than they are wide across.
Yes. Yes, they're magnifying glasses.
All right, let's balance those all on your head there.
Okay.
Oh, wait, that's our health insurance bill.
Oh, oops. Hey, pass me the question.
That is a lot of decimal places.
Oh, yes, we owe $21,000 a month to stay alive. It's ridiculous. We only go to the doctor every other day.
And we're on Social Security, so we make $100 basically a month.
Yeah. Anyway, so
racking up debt.
Though you did tell us on our way in that your rent-controlled apartment costs you only 17 cents a year.
Oh, yes. Well, we've been here for so long. 17 cents used to be a lot of money. Mm-hmm.
It was rent-controlled back in the day, and we just haven't moved, so it's still just what it used to be.
Yes, sure is.
Yeah, it feels like sitting in a time capsule when we're in here.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Are you ready for the question?
Yes, we are.
This question says, to whom it may concern, what would you say is
read the date. Read the date at the top.
What it says, February 12th, 2017. Can you believe we've made it this far?
I thought we'd have flying cars by now.
Oh, God. To whom it may concern, since we are learning about your small town, perhaps you would like to share an interesting piece of information about a local food delicacy.
That's very formally worded, but that's a great question.
Yes, it says, sincerely, a man who likes to eat.
Who doesn't?
He's from Arizona. Phoenix, Arizona. Oh, very nice letter.
I've heard, and I've been sampling all week, the multitude of food that New York has to offer. I'm sure you guys have heard New York as being referred to as a melting pot, and that is because of all the different soups and stews that they offer here.
And fondues. So and fondues, it must be said. Mm-hmm.
Yes, actually, my favorite restaurant is a fondue restaurant. Mm-hmm. It's called I Can Do. Can you fondue?
That kills me.
Every time it gets heralded.
I can do. Okay, well, how does it, what
can
was
you
it?
Fondue?
Can you fondue?
Yeah, can you believe it? And so,
clever.
Yeah, what we're known for, I think the New York style of fondue is a mixture of the cheese and chocolate fondue.
And we like it hot.
Yeah, we like it hot. We don't like it heated up so much.
Don't like it runny.
So we keep it, the flame is very low. You know how, this is my favorite part. When you've got a cheese or a chocolate fondue, and it was warm, and now it's starting to cool, there's a skin on top. And that's the price of the fondue in New York, is if you stick your bread in there on your little skewer, if you come out with the whole skin, you're considered lucky.
Yeah.
And my astrologer said last week I would get a lucky skin, and I did.
She did, too.
Yeah, I did.
So when you get the skin, are you supposed to eat it, or are you supposed to save it?
Oh, no, you definitely eat it. You eat it as fast as you can.
Yeah.
Before someone else tries to.
Before it gets another layer of skin on.
That's an unlucky thing if it does, by the way.
Yeah.
Harold, do you have any favorite restaurants in town?
There's on the corner, there's a gas station, and they serve, they got a soft serve machine.
Oh, yes, that just got here in 1991.
Yes,
so
yes.
So new still to us.
Frozen yogurt, fat free. I can eat as much as I want, and I will never get fat.
Well, that sounds like a fun little treat to have after your fondue skin.
It's kind of a local thing.
Oh, and just recently they started serving goji berries on top. I don't even know what that is, but I delighted them.
I think that's the kind of thing a panda bear poops out.
Oh, well, they taste delicious.
You wouldn't think they would, but they do.
Oh, they do.
So you said frozen yogurt is kind of a local thing?
Yeah. You have to try it.
Yeah, you should try it. We could go for a walk later, just the four of us. Oh, God, you know what this reminds me of when we had our boys home.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Oh, you guys have sons?
We have two sons. Oh, yes, we do. Mm-hmm. And they're older than you.
Yeah.
They're 69.
And 89.
Do they still live in Manhattan or have they moved away?
Oh, yes. They both live just down the street. Mm-hmm. But it's different having you two boys here.
Yeah.
They don't come around as often because it's difficult to walk. Really.
Sure.
If you look out the window, You can see them. Just wave at them.
Okay, you can actually, they live a couple blocks away, but you can see in their window right now. Yeah, I'm waving at them.
Yeah,
right
we
now.
Always ask them to leave the blinds open.
Yeah. Every neighbor leaves the blinds open so we can see straight through to their house.
Oh, that's nice. It establishes like a more of a community feel.
Yes.
Yes, we always know what everyone's doing.
Elliot, I'm learning so much. And, you know, I'm gonna ask that actually. I don't read the next question. I'm going to insist that our guests read one more for us.
Oh, Harold, do you want to do the honors? Harold, wake up. I'm throwing paper at you.
Okay, fine. I'm up. I was just awake.
It's terrifying, isn't it? With his eyes wide open like that. God.
I was just resting my eyes.
But you weren't. But you weren't resting your eyes.
Can you let me just read it?
All right. Oh, I like the script on this one. It's nice cursive.
Mm, that's beautiful.
Very nice.
Did someone send this through mail to you?
I got it certified.
No, not you, Harold. Wait. The boys.
Oh, wait. This is our taxes.
Okay, hold on. Pass it over again. Here.
Here's a different one you can read.
Okay, here's this one. Go ahead.
It says, if it was my first time in Manhattan, where should I go to get the best Manhattan experience?
Oh, that's a great question, yeah.
Signed, Rudy Fairchild.
Oh, Fairchild. Okay. Hmm.
So do you guys have any tips for Rudy when he or she, I guess, comes here? What are they going to do in Manhattan?
Well, stop by our place. That's the first step. Because we'll treat you to a glass of sherry. And then we'll take you for a walk. And we'll stop by the Noodle Emporium first and foremost.
And I hope I'm not being too presumptuous in saying Manhattan is so small and close-knit, you can kind of do it all in one day.
Oh, yes. But you should walk slowly, and then you could do it all in 3 days.
If you're continuously walking for 3 days.
Yeah. So we would go to the Noodle Emporium so you could meet our friends. And Harold. You were speaking to the boys. Harold, wake up.
I was not needed to be awaked.
You were snoring and with your eyes open like two lasers coming out.
No, I was just resting my
I'm
eyes.
Sorry if that scared you.
And breathing.
I find it a little confounding that you call it resting your eyes when your eyes are wide open and sort of moving independently of one another.
Yes, please, that's how I feel.
Well, they need to just do what they do.
I stand corrected.
So first we would go to the Noodles Emporium where you'd get your pool noodles. And then if you walk down the street, there's a florist.
Oh, a good one.
Yes, she's got hundreds of types of flowers. Mm-hmm. And they're all fake.
Yeah. Yep.
The fake flowers, and they last forever. We've got so many in here. What do you think?
You don't have to water them. Nothing.
Nothing. You don't have to worry. You can go on vacation for as long as you want.
They give you a foam, like a green foam block, and you just jam them into that. And then you put that in a pot or wherever, and it just stays put.
Truly a technological marvel.
Yeah,
I know. Saw it at the 1904 World's Fair.
Yes. Oh, God, I remember that.
Picked it up from the kiosk.
The fake flowers or the foam block?
Oh, well, we got our first one, and now it's just like an everyday occurrence. You know, it used to be a modern marvel of wonders, but now it's just, you know, you can go down the block and get it.
Get it, yeah. So once you're done there at the florist, you keep walking, and then you're right there at the gas station, and you could stop for a froyo.
And which, again, you're not going to find anywhere else besides Manhattan.
Only in Manhattan. Right. Only in this tiny community can you find the local delicacy of frozen yogurt.
Yeah, we call it froyo. If you want to sound like you're from Manhattan, you've got to say it froyo.
Yeah. Otherwise, they'll know right away. Tip.
Oh, Elliot, it's short for frozen yogurt.
Oh, he's
Wait,
clever.
No, it's not. It can't
yes,
be.
Yes, it
no,
is.
No, it is.
Yes.
It is.
Wow. That sounds it's a lot snappier. Now we know how to sound like a local. I feel like maybe I'm a local already. Froyo? Is that right?
That's correct.
It's a portmanteau.
Well, guys, I feel like we've kicked off this next segment that we love to do. I think it's our viewers or listeners' favorite segment, though it should be noted we do film the episodes on a camera, but only use the audio.
Well, in true New York fashion, we're always filming.
Yes,
that's
yes,
right.
You must.
So sometimes we say viewers instead of listeners, mm-hmm. but our listeners love this segment, and you've already teed it up for us. It's called the Weekly Wears Vince.
Guys, the Weekly Wears Vince is Vince's opportunity to investigate the town's different neighborhoods. Vince, I know that Manhattan's pretty small, so you were able to kind of get to all of them. Are there any certain highlights?
Yeah, so the first thing, and our guests are sure to know this, Harold and Sylvia, so please chime in.
Oh, Harold's just using the restroom.
I see. Well, I'll introduce him. We can catch him up to speed later.
Okay.
The thing that Manhattan loves to do is to name their neighborhoods very specifically. So every sort of block is called its own thing.
Yes,
and they're also very descriptive. So you've got the West Village, you've got the Northwest Village, you got the Southern Northwestern Village.
Did you hear the toilet? He's on his way back. There he is.
Oh, he just slipped on a pool noodle.
Oh, careful, Harold.
Harold, you got to sit down here, buddy.
Take a break, darling. I can't have you dying on me.
What did I miss?
We were talking about the neighborhoods, and the young man was just talking, and really, I was just listening. Take your inhaler. Here.
This inhaler, it should be noted, is looks like a sort of a furnace bellows that you're inflating his chest with.
It also has 1904 World's Fair written on the side of it.
Yes, we picked it up then.
Yes.
You know, we were just married in 1904.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, we had only gotten married 10 years prior.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We got married right before the turn of the century.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That was before recycling.
Wow. Well, we're glad you're back, and we're glad that you can speak and breathe again. Vince was actually just filling us in on the different, very easily navigable neighborhoods of New York City.
If your neighborhood isn't called like the West, North, Upper Side, East Village, then it'll have a name with a lot of two-letter syllables in it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're Soho, mm-hmm. you're NoHo, you're Soho NoHo,
and then BloHo. Mm-hmm. Don't forget BloHo.
BloHo, and then of course Froyo, which is the name of the neighborhood that is just the gas station on the corner.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
Very close to us.
Yeah.
So all of these neighborhoods, you know, if you spend a few days here, you sort of get the lay of the land. Right. I think my favorite neighborhood that I visited, though, it was an alley in between West 81st and West 82nd Street.
Oh, they call Diagon.
They call it Diagon Alley.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, Diagon's such a cute place to go out to dinner or see a film or, you know.
I'm interested you should say that because the alley is only the length of a human body and it has no shops or houses in it.
They have an art fair every year.
Yeah, there's a big street fair down at Diagon.
That's where I got all these cups.
Yeah, should we go? Do you guys want to stick around and go? It's just in a couple of months. Yeah,
it's in a couple of months for 5 months.
Well, you know, we have a pretty rigorous production schedule, and maybe we should come back.
Oh,
I can
imagine you're extremely busy.
Oh, yeah.
God.
Elliot, I wonder if any flights go to Manhattan. I want to say that they probably don't, that there's, it's tough to get a flight in here.
I don't think there's even an airport.
You have to take a water ship.
We have to take a water ship?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's a pretty old-fashioned town. We're on an island. A water ship would be the only way to get here.
It's the only way to get
in. Didn't we drive here, Elliot?
One in and one out. And your car goes on the water ship, and the water ship brings you here.
Maybe I blacked out on that part of the trip, but...
We did. We crossed a bridge into town, but I think there was only like one bridge you could take.
Listen, here is the thing about the water ship. And here's the thing. This is the dark truth about Manhattan, is that when you come across on the watership, you've been given a toxin in the air, and you'll not remember this trip. And you'll not remember how you got here or how you left.
Mm-hmm.
That is the dark truth. We're happy every single day, but anybody who comes, you're going to forget why you came and what you came for and how long you stayed and what you did. That's the truth about it.
Those are the words. The words you're reciting are the words of the new Colossus poem on the Statue of Liberty, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's true. Yep. Word for word.
Yep.
That's in my Angelou quote.
Yes.
You'll never forget the frozen yogurt, though. That's one thing I'd like to say.
Well, you technically will, but you'll be always longing for something you can't quite place.
Vince, did you place any other neighborhoods that you found interesting?
Yes. I was in another famous part of Manhattan. Small as it is, it's very multicultural. And I think that's a thing that has a lot of these small towns have going for them. So you have your sort of different towns based on the origin of the persons that, you know, make up its tapestry. So mm-hmm. you've got, you know, your Chinatown, your Koreatown. I think Liechtenstein Town was really a hidden gem.
Oh God, isn't it so wonderful there?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so nice. Little Vaduz, as they call it.
Yes.
And I went there. It's one building. It's half of a duplex, actually,
yes.
The size of the neighborhood. And there's an old man, and he runs a little shop out of his home. And there you can either buy handcrafted wooden toy cars or black market bank accounts. Those are the two things he sells.
And both of them are the highest quality.
Yes, I didn't quite have the cash on hand to open one of his bank accounts, but I did buy a little toy car, and it's just lovely. It's just so quaint and artisanal.
Did you crack it open?
No, I wasn't aware that.
Oh,
wasn't
you've got to crack the car open.
Crack it open.
All right. Well, you've got a little nut hammer here on the coffee table. I'll just tap. What is it? What's in there, Sylvia?
Well, first there's a chocolate egg, and it's a mixture of our chocolate and cheese fondue shaped egg. And in the inside, old Manhattan cash.
Yep.
Manhattan had its own currency?
Oh, it still
does.
Oh,
yes. Oh, yes.
It still does.
Oh, this is a picture of your father on the front of it with the top
hat. It is. There it
is. Is this Monopoly money or is this Manhattan currency?
It's Manhattan currency.
Old.
It's original Manhattan currency.
Yes, it's crumpled into a little ball so it fits in your chocolate cheese egg there,
yes,
but
unfolded.
It's the size of a small portrait here.
Yes, mm-hmm. It's large. I've signed it.
It becomes large.
So in 1904, let's say you have one of these bling bucks, as it says on here, what could one of these buy you?
Oh God, one bling buck is worth more than any other dollar in the world.
Oh, 45 ham legs.
If you're having a party, you just need one bling buck and you could satisfy everyone.
Pig snout, lots of pig.
I'm looking it up here on the World Currency Exchange. It's so far down the list. It says here you can only exchange them for pork products at traditional delis.
Yep.
Yes.
Aren't you guys kosher though?
Oh well, yes, we are kosher. But sometimes we'll buy, you know, dozens and dozens of ham legs.
Yep.
Because we're having a party, and even though we don't imbibe, yep. our friends imbibe, and we've got a lot of German friends,
sure.
as you can imagine, a lot of burgers still live
here. I think let a rabbi bless the ham legs, then it's okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And you have to, we just ask that you bring your own plates.
Because we do not have enough plates.
Yeah. And if you put a pork on a plate, you got to bury it in the backyard.
That's right.
Yeah, that's like the kosher rule that everybody knows.
Yes.
Is that's the one.
Bury the
plate.
Well,
guys, I had such a good time here in Manhattan, and it pains me to say it, but we should move on to our rapid fire segment of the show, shouldn't we, Elliot?
Sure. We love to move quickly.
Yeah,
I think so. I can see that. And Harold, you're going to want to stay awake for this one. It's a segment we call Did You Know?
Yes.
So listeners,
stop talking, Harold.
As we mentioned, Did You Know is the time in the show where we fire five rapid-fire facts back and forth. And as much as we love to take our time with the rest of the program, this is our fast-paced segment. And we have time to read five fast facts each and every week. Actually, why don't you start us off today, Harold?
Harold?
Yeah.
Wake up.
What?
Start us off.
A fast fact.
Tell him a fact, but do it quickly.
Oh, okay. There's a cat across the street, and she comes out at night, and I'm just like, where on earth do you belong? And I have gone to every single house on this block. Nobody owns this cat. I'm starting to think that this just may be an orphan cat. I don't know. Fast fact.
I, you know, in the spirit of the segment, Harold, I didn't know that. Do you care to expound?
Oh, about what? The cat?
Well, it seems like you. Is this the cat right here? Did you adopt him? His tag says Mr. Mistopheles on it.
No, that's all. No, that's just a different cat.
Yeah,
this is a girl cat.
That's our cat. We don't like cats. Or any animals, but just that one cat.
Our oldest son bought us this cat. He thought it would make us feel younger.
Yeah. Skimbleshanks. That's the cat's name.
That's his first name.
Yeah. Skimbleshanks Mephistopheles. Or Mr. Mephistopheles.
It's pretty cute. It's a pretty cute name. You have to give it to them, Elliot.
It is very cute. And, you know, I hope that you find a home for that other cat, or maybe you can adopt him too.
Nah.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Sylvia, do you have the next Did You Know fact for us?
Yeah, the next fact, fast fact number two. Did you know Manhattan was not originally an island? It was originally connected to a different city called Dumberville, and they sank into the sea.
So this city was to the, I'm assuming, the east of Manhattan, and it sunk into the sea.
That's right. That's right. It sank right into the sea and split off right at the edge.
Was this while you guys were living here?
Oh, of course it was. We've lived here since the dawn of Manhattan.
Did you know anybody that lived in Dumberville?
Hundreds of people. We lost many of our close friends.
What happened to them? How did it sink?
If I was a geologist, I would tell you those things, but I'm just a simple person.
Did you guys help them, or you didn't want to, like, you know, get in their business?
Well, it happened so quickly. It was as if one morning we were having breakfast, and the next thing we know, we heard screaming and a cracking, and everything was sunk into the sea just like that.
And what can you do? And it didn't really affect us that much, so we were kind of like, eh.
We just moved on.
Somebody will deal with it.
Well, guys, I didn't know that, and may someone look over the lost souls of Dumberville. But did you guys know? I've got the next one for us. Like many small towns in you know, the quaint U.S., Manhattan has its own little baseball team.
Vince, what team is that?
They call themselves a hilarious name. Real Americana, a real throwback treat. They call themselves the Yankees.
That is too funny.
No, you're reading that wrong. It's the Hankies.
Oh, the Manhattan Hankies?
Yes, like the tissue.
The H looks like a Y.
There was an old hanky factory right here in town at one point.
Yes, there was. That's where Harold had his first job.
Really?
You know, this is making a lot of sense now because their colors, they're white with that red script. Like if you were to embroider like a name onto a hanky.
Exactly.
Yes, or if you like had like a tuberculosis cough onto a hanky, it would be like that red.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
Ugh, tuberculosis. Don't get me started.
Harold's had it three times.
Yes.
Fast fact number four.
Yeah.
Harold is constantly suffering from tuberculosis.
Was that fast fact?
I thought that disease was eradicated in the 1940s.
Well, yes. Well,
once you get it once.
Once you get it once, you just keep getting it back.
Mm.
I feel like this might be sort of a patient zero situation with Harold.
Oh, no. It's an allergies problem.
No, there are plenty of allergies.
The tuberculosis is well known to be spread via allergy.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. He's allergic to the cat.
Yes.
I see.
Well, that was a great extra Did You Know fact you slipped in there. And guys, to wrap it up, I have the last one.
Is it about the teenager across the street with the hat backwards?
No, but I've heard,
that's a
I've
fact.
Seen you repeatedly throughout the show shaking your fist at him and looking at him throughout the window. And I just want to say for our listeners, he's just standing there waiting for a bus. So it seems to be minding his own business.
There is no bus in this town.
And no business. What business?
Oh, yeah, the Hanky Factory is
close to the 1800s.
Long gone. There was really only the Froyo gas station. No, it's not about the teenager, unfortunately. It's about the census. Guys, did you know that the census for Manhattan every year is wildly inaccurate?
Oh, that makes sense.
And it's because people are so fond of this town that they kind of count it as a character in their own lives, and they count it on the census. And so every single person adds the city of Manhattan to their family, and it just extrapolates the population.
What a peculiar thing to do, Elliot.
It's very strange. People just love this city, though.
Yes, we do. I mean, you're saying it like it's strange, but we don't think it's strange.
Well, I guess now that you put it that way, it isn't strange to name your city in which you're being censused on as a member of your family.
Correct.
Especially if it was named after a man with a hat on. So it all makes sense.
Exactly. And if that man is your father, then you really feel connected.
Yes. And I think we've had such a great connection to you, and I feel like you guys have a huge connection to our listeners for having joined us on the show. And Vince, should we move on to our final segment?
You know, it does break my heart to do it, but I think we got to do it, guys.
Okay, please, let's do it.
And that segment's called Wish You Were Here.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, it's like as our guests are alluding, we do wish, listener, that you were here with us, especially in such a welcoming and tight-knit community as Manhattan. But the fact is, planes don't go here, and you can't all drive across the country to ride a water ship just to visit Manhattan. So instead, we write you this audio postcard from us to you. It goes a little something like this. dear listener, wish you were here with us in Manhattan, New York.
A town home to the amazing couple that has hosted us in our time here, Harold and Sylvia Levy Abrahamson. I'm going to get this
Ben
wrong.
Abrahamson. Ben Abrahamson.
Ben Abrahamson. And then Silverstein, right?
Yes.
You got it.
Okay, great. We couldn't be happier to have met them.
They are two of the very few people that actually live in Manhattan.
Alongside a neighborhood teenager with a backwards hat and the proprietor of a frozen yogurt gas station.
That is not to overlook the Pool Noodle Emporium and Bodega. And the orphan cat.
Yes, I think you've got it.
And the old hanky factory.
It's haunted now. We should have told you about that.
It's haunted.
That's where the curse of that bambino comes from.
Yes.
Oh, I get it now. All right, I understand. The haunted hanky factory, yes, obviously.
A town that Vince and I couldn't have been happier to go to.
Well, we loved having you here. It's like having our boys again. Farewell. From these parts to yours.
Hey listeners, thanks again for tuning in to this week's stop in Manhattan, New York. Hope you enjoyed it as much as we did, and I hope you're with us next week when we're in Ottoman, Illinois.
Deemed America's Ottoman Empire, the town was founded by Ottoman inventor Jonathan Ottoman, armchair Ottoman expert, and Ottoman armchair expert. So come back, it's gonna be great.